We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. We've been discussing in this series of The Truth About Truth the importance of realizing what is the truth. Today, we'll discuss together, Thy Word is Truth. In the course of this study, we will be examining both the Old and New Testament Scriptures and see if God Almighty has not preserved His divine will in Scripture. In the Old Testament, Moses, the great lawgiver, was told to write. He was told to write a book, and that the book of the law was read hundreds of years later in the presence of Israel. Jesus appealed to the Old Testament Scriptures and gave His stamp of approval to that which is written. Both the Old and New Covenants were committed to writing. They are referred to as Scriptures. Many today deny that the Bible is the Word of God. They say it just contains the Word of God. It is not the Word of God. Well, let's see what Jesus, the apostles, and other inspired writers have to say. Our Lord told Pilate, "To this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." John 18 and verse 37. Let's not forget that Jesus promised that, "If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, 31 and 32. And though Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," John 17, 17, we have many today who argue that the Scriptures are not the Word of God. The written words of the Bible, we are told, are not themselves the actual Word of God. Rather, the contention is that the Word of God is to be distinguished from the words of the Bible. Consider the view of the Scriptures held by Karl Barth in a book entitled Church Dogmatics, and this is on page 590. I quote, "If God has not been ashamed to speak through the Scriptures with His fallible human words, with its historical and scientific blunders, its theological contradictions, with the uncertainty of its transmission, and above all, with its Jewish character, but rather accepted in all its fallibility to make it serve Him, we ought not to be ashamed of it when, with all its fallibility, it wants anew to be to us a witness. It would be self-will and disobedience to wish to seek the Bible for infallible elements." Unquote. Many religious leaders have been greatly influenced by such men as Karl Barth and his view of Scripture. This same view, which charges the Bible as being fallible, has shifted down to people in the pews, or sifted down to people in the pews. Consequently, many religious groups hold that the Bible is not really the Word of God. Do you believe the Scriptures are the Word of God? Let's look at this issue more closely. Edward J. Young, in his outstanding book, Thy Word is Truth, page 231, summarizes this popular view, and I quote again, "It is freely admitted today that God speaks to us through the Bible, but we are told it is not the actual printed page before us which is His Word. His Word, rather, is the message which reaches us through the Scriptures. Behind the human words of the Bible, there is a divine message, but we make a great mistake, it is said, if we think that the message of God, His glorious gospel, is tied to this or that verse of the Bible in particular." In other words, some are contending that the Scriptures are valuable only when they contain the Word of God. Thus, one must attempt to separate the Word of God from the Scriptures. Thus, according to this view, the Bible merely contains God's Word. In actuality, the Word of God is concealed and veiled in the words of men. The Word of God and Scripture are not identical. This, of course, results in the Bible being chopped up in little pieces. Those sections that contain the Word of God are accepted and the rest are discarded. But no two persons can agree which portions are God's Word and which are just religious history. The result has been that people approach the Bible as they would a smorgasbord line. taking what they want, and leaving behind that which they find distasteful. Religious division, which is so prevalent in our society today, reflects this attitude. Consequently, our Lord is dishonored because his people are not united. Jesus prayed, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." John 17:20-21. Every generation has some who think that a new revelation is needed from God for a new age. The old Bible is viewed as outdated and unable to meet the spiritual needs of the new enlightened generation. There is an element of chronological snobbery inherent in such ideas, for this enlightened age will be the next generation's outdated age. But the Scriptures are not tied to one era of time. They are timeless in that they meet the needs of every generation. For instance, Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90 says this, "Forever, O Jehovah, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Later we read, "Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding, and I shall live." Psalm 119:144. We then read, "The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever." Psalm 119:160. Note that the psalmist states, "The sum of thy word is what? Is truth." Each of the individual parts are truth, and when all are added together, it is still truth. This also tells us that it takes all that God's word says on any subject to give us the complete truth. Only then can we come to a knowledge of the truth. Finally, the psalmist says, "And every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever." Psalm 119 and 160. Consequently, we should expect that the Bible is just as fitted to the spiritual needs of this generation as it was fitted to meet the needs of the people in Jesus' own generation. The Bible is the objective standard of truth, which is fixed and does not change from generation to generation. Here is something that should cause all who claim to be Christians to think very soberly about. The Apostle Paul warned of a number of evils that would exist in the last days. Among these is the inability of men to come to a knowledge of the truth. Beginning with 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, the inspired apostle wrote, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of their own selves," notice, "covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9. Read all of that again very carefully. Does the description, "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth," describe you? Do you know the truth? Do you care to know it? How about the questions we asked in previous lessons? Do you know the truth about such questions as, is baptism essential to salvation? Are infants to be baptized? If so, is it by sprinkling, pouring, or by immersion? Maybe baptism is not in water. Maybe it is in the Holy Spirit, which God does and not man. Friend, do these questions make any difference to you? Yes, but what does the Bible say? Do you care enough to know? Do you really love the truth? Are you looking for it? Have you been told there is no way to know the truth? Yes, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Do we have God's word today? If so, where is it? God's word is truth. And the truth does make us free. John 8 and verse 32. This being true, no form or amount of error can make one free. What is the truth? Where is it found? It is found in the New Testament. As we continue reading in 2 Timothy 3, the apostle told Timothy how he came to know the truth and where the truth is found. If your Bible is before you, why not read with me the beginning with verse 10 of 2 Timothy 3? But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, the Scriptures are able to make one wise unto salvation. What Scriptures are these? Well, the context is referring to the Old Testament Scriptures rather than the New Testament Scriptures. Nevertheless, this passage tells us something about the nature of Scripture, a point that we will look at more closely next time. Paul states that the Scriptures are able to make us wise, make the man of God complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Now, if we examine the Scriptures, the New Testament teaches us what we need to do to be a Christian. The word Christian means simply belonging to Christ. So the question is, do you belong to Christ? Well, how do you know that? Well, we know it by looking at the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because of the evidence of Scripture. We then are told to repent and be baptized. Acts 2 and verse 38. Repentance is a change of mind which leads to the right course of action in our lives. And so we are told to repent, to confess our faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son before others, to acknowledge with our mouth what we believe in the heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And finally, we are baptized, we are immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Will you allow us to assist you in your obedience to Christ today? If so, we'll be glad to do that. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for our worship together, and again this evening at 6 o'clock. We also meet for midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock. And we hope that you'll bring your Bible and bring a friend as we search the Scriptures together. It will profit you a great deal. Why not be with us? You're always welcome. Until then, we want to encourage you to listen to Words of Truth again next Lord's Day as we continue this series of lessons. Until then, we bid you a good day.